It is day 10 of working 12 days in a row, and it's time for us to learn something about the care of milk. I shall not attempt to enter into the chemistry of the milk. It would be out of place for this ABC tristis. One particular thing I wish to draw your attention to is the animal heat. When the milk first comes from the cow, you cannot help noticing that it has a soft, feverish smell, which soon passes off after exposure to the air. This cowy smell should, of course, be allowed to pass off, but not in the stable, where the milk would be likely to pass on a worse and more lasting odor. Milk is a great absorbent and quickly takes on any and all odors which it comes into contact with, and when once taken on, they can never be got rid of. Therefore, the moment we are through milking the cow, we should either take the milk out of the stable and into another room, or pour it at once into a can or some vessel with a tight-fitting cover, that it may not absorb stable odors before we are through with milking all the cows. I think the best plan is to strain the milk into an ordinary deep-setting can and put the cover on tight. Remove the can as soon as it is filled to the milk room. Now comes the cooling of the milk. Now comes the cooling of the milk. To make good butter, we must cool our milk rapidly. The sooner we cool it down to 47 degrees after it leaves the cow, the better the butter will be. Does not specify Fahrenheit or Celsius. The old-fashioned way of setting the milk in shallow pans or crocks in the milk cupboard, which in summer was placed in the cellar and in the pantry in winter, is still kept up by a good many farmers, and this no doubt accounts for the steady production of 10-cent store butter, with which our markets are always overstocked. If you expect to make good butter, never set the milk in the pantry or cellar, as the odors which it will absorb are just as numerous, if not quite so bad, as those in the cow's stable. There is but one way the dairymen are pretty generally agreed upon it, and that is to set the milk in deep cans in cold water, and the colder the water, the quicker the separation of cream for the milk. If you cannot afford to buy the patent deep-sitting cans like the Cooley, the Haney, and the Jersey, or the Wilhelm, by all means, get the common deep-setting shotgun can with or without the glass gauges in the sides. The purpose of all these cans is to cool the milk rapidly, and though the manufacturers of this or that may claim that their can does the work more quickly than others, I am of opinion that they are all good and want as good as the rest. If you have a spring, you can get the cans in the ground, where the water can flow all around and over the cans, you will be fortunate indeed. If you have no spring and cannot afford a creamer, make a tank a little deeper than the cans and keep the water flowing around the cans. The cooler the water, the better. If the water from your well is not cooler than 47 degrees, you should use ice. By cooling ice or very cold spring water, or very cold spring or well water, you'll get all, or nearly all, the cream to rise from 12 to 24 hours. And as I said before, I want to firmly impress it upon your minds, the quicker you can get the cream to rise, the better butter you can make. Never allow the milk to set for more than 30 hours, as it becomes acid or too thick and loses much in flavor. I would much prefer to skim sooner if I lost some of the cream by doing so, as I would more than make up in what I lost in quantity by the improved quality. The milk room. It would be well to say a word about the milk room before passing on to the management of cream. It is absolutely necessary that we have a good milk room in which not only to set the milk, but to ripen the cream, do the churning, and work the butter. Have the milk room well ventilated and built so that you can control the temperature of the proper point all the year round. A good airy place with plenty of elbow room is essential. I see many too small, stuffy, crowded rooms where there is scarcely place for half the utensils. Now, see the air in your room is always pure, and do not pollute it by going directly into it from the cow stable, with all the odors clinging onto your clothes and manure on your boots. Also, have the room situated as far from the barnyard and hog pen as possible. Management of cream. Skim the milk before the cream becomes too thick and tough on the top. I never allow the cream to remain on the milk a moment after I think it is all separated from the milk. If you use deep-setting cans, you will find the little conical skimmer, 10 or 12-inch handle, the easiest to skim with. If you put the cream in a can or other vessel containing cream that was skimmed... that was skimmed some hours previous, be sure to stir it all well together so that it may be of the same consistency. Keep the cream at a temperature of 62 to 68 degrees until it becomes slightly sour when it is ready for churning. I have churned the very sweet cream and very sour cream and have never been able to get good butter of good flavor from anything but slightly soured cream. I am also of the opinion that butter made from cream only slightly sour will keep much longer than when made from very sweet or very sour cream. I am often asked if I think that the straining of cream is an advantage, and I will answer that by saying I do think it aids somewhat in the helping of the butter to come more evenly. In the winter, it may be found necessary to place the cream near the stove where it can be gradually warmed up to 68 or even 70 degrees in order to have it sufficiently sour. Butter color. We all prefer to have a rich orange color. While white butter looks too much like lard, then too butter of a pale white hue never sells for as much in the market as the rich colored article. Years ago, people colored butter with the juice of carrots. Later, the seeds of the annatto plant were crushed and the juice mixed with potash water. Potash. We now have many specially prepared compounds in the market put up in liquid form and ready for immediate use. Almost all of these commercial colors are good, but should be used sparingly. Nearly all the beginners use too much the first time, and there is no general rule to follow in using color, and you will only be able to tell how much to use by practice, as the butter of some cows is naturally richer in color than others. This is especially true of the Jersey cows, the butter from which needs but little artificial coloring. Always put coloring into the cream before beginning to churn. Churning. Few persons know how to churn properly. No matter how rich or nice the cream, if the churning is not done at a proper temperature and in a proper manner, you cannot make good butter. Avoid the lightning patent churn, which the agent will claim to bring butter in 5 minutes. Cream that is churned too quickly always makes butter of a cheesy flavor and quick to get rancid. Churning should never be done in less than 20 minutes, and if possible, no longer than 40 minutes. Generally, the proper temperature at which to have the cream before beginning to churn is 60 degrees, but sometimes there must be varied a few degrees according to circumstances. In winter, we find 65 or 68 degrees will be necessary in order to have the butter come within 40 minutes. When cows are fresh, the butter comes more quickly than if after they have been fresh for a long period. Always start the churn with a slow movement, gradually increasing until you have reach the proper speed, which is 40 or 50 strokes per period. Fuck! No, not yet. Fuck. Oh, I want to come so bad. Fuck. Okay, where even? I'm trying to judge for a minute. I do not believe in the churn with a dash inside, nor have I adopted the granular plan. The idea of scooping out great lumps of butter from a sense of... What? I do not... Oh, nor do I believe in keeping the churn in motion a moment after the cream breaks. All sensible dairymen are trying to keep pace with the times and have adopted the granular plan. Oh, I scooped a line, I see. Sorry, everyone. The idea of scooping out great lumps of butter from a churn and trying to squeeze and rub out the buttermilk with its cautious and albuminous matters is a thing of the past. Squeeze and press and knead as you please, but nothing after the water of the buttermilk will come out. The very impurities which you desire to get out of the butter will be all the more firmly incorporated in it. Not one buttermaker in 10, nor 50, knows enough to stop the churn at the proper time when the butter has formed into little pellets the size of a wheat kernel. Then, when the loose pellets have formed, pull out the plug or stopper in the bottom of your churn. If you have not got such a thing as a hole in your churn, don't waste a moment until you have bored one there. At least an inch in diameter, and place a small piece of very fine wire sieve on the inside of your churn over the water hole, and thereafter careful not to have your plug so long that it will punch the sieve off every time you put it in. Let the buttermilk drain off through this hole, and after pouring in a little cold water and cooling the contents of the churn down to a point where the globules and kernels of butter will stick together when you agitate your churn. Now, let the churn stand and rest a few minutes, then pour in more cold water and let it drain off through the hole again. And if the water comes out as clear as it went in, stop pouring, shake your churn a little, and then make a good strong brine of well-powdered salt that has been first sifted thoroughly. Cork up the hole and pour in your brine and let it stand on the butter for 15 or 20 minutes, after which draw off as you did with the water. You now have your butter in the best possible condition for working. When you purchase your churn, be sure to get one that is large enough. It is much better to have too large than not large enough. If you think you have not sufficient cream for churning and the cream is ripe, do not wait for another skimming. But add sufficient milk to have the churn filled to about 1/4 its capacity. Do not use milk that is very sour and is likely to contain so much gas and that your butter will not be of good flavor. Many dairymen churn all the milk with the cream, but only as it adds more work to the churning. I do not recommend it, except in cases where there is not cream enough to properly fill the churn.
I keep surprising myself. even after coming. Fuck. Well, I hope you learned something.